story yesterday, continues to be a story today. The mayor of San Francisco has apologized for the pain caused by her city's posthumous award of a certificate of honor to the former Deputy First Minister Martin McGuinness, which cited his courageous service in the military. And indeed, the mayor of San Francisco, London Breed, she has said that San Francisco values means respect for the democratic process and a non-violent political, any form of non-violent political actions. The language of the certificate of honour should have taken more care to apply these values when reflecting the history of Mr. McGuinness's life towards peacemaker and his role in the peace process that resulted in the Good Friday Agreement. I apologise for the pain this certificate has caused. I want to speak to the Ulster Unionists. Doug Beattie. Doug Beattie, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Do you take this as a heartfelt apology? Is it something that the victims of the IRA will understand from the mayor of San Francisco?
Well, listen, Frank, I can't speak for the victims. Each victim will have to look at this for themselves and they will have to decide if it's heartfelt or not. I can certainly look at this and accept that she's made a mistake and she's got it wrong. The wording of the certificate was absolutely disgraceful. It did cause extreme hurt and it has caused extreme anger, and she's right to apologise. What I would say to her now is she could follow that up by withdrawing the certificate. If she wants to issue another one, which focuses purely on his later life, then she can do so, which might be easier for other people to understand his part within the peace process. But you know, what they can't do is just say, well, I've apologised, but this stands as it is, because it's an absolute spit in the face to victims right across Northern Ireland, be you from a unionist community or be you from a nationalist community. Martin McGuinness was involved in a violent, rabid, bloodthirsty organisation which murdered people willingly.
Some people suggesting over the last 24 hours that it's almost a cut and paste approach, where courageous service in the military, it's like an American term that would be used for so many soldiers in so many arenas, and it was just put in there without any thought.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've served with the US forces all around the world, and I understand the great value they put in military service. So you're absolutely right, it could well have been a cut and paste. But this is important about people understanding the language that they use. If I was to put something in which was to go and commemorate Osama bin Laden for his work, then the victims would be rightly outraged at that. You know, or any terrorist, in fact, who took the lives of US citizens or US forces. So I think we all have to be mindful of our language. If it's a gaffe, it's a gaffe. If she's apologising, she means it, then fair enough. Victims will have to decide if that's enough for them. But she has to follow this up by withdrawing that certificate as it stands, rewording it maybe if she wants to, and then reissuing it as something slightly different.
Do you think she should come and visit? Arlene Foster suggesting she should come and visit Northern Ireland.
Well, again, I mean, I've got to say that's up to her. I mean, you know, we live in a small world. In truth, you know, she has the ability to find out what happened in Northern Ireland very, very easily. A click of a mouse and she's onto the internet and she can look at Clodagh, she can look at Kingsmill, she can look at the various different atrocities that we've had here in Northern Ireland, in Le Mans, in the Abercorn. So she has the ability to do that. She can come here and she'll get a feel for what it is. I wrote to her yesterday, an open letter to her and to the San Francisco Chronicle, and I just outlined the hurt that we feel. Now, if she feels that she wants to come so she understands that better, I think she would be most welcome. I certainly would welcome her and explain what she did was so incredibly wrong. But I don't think she needs to understand what we went through here in Northern Ireland. I think Americans broadly do understand, even though that they will fall into different camps in regards to what the conflict was all about here in Northern Ireland.
You say with a click of a mouse people could find out, and I'm sure they're briefed by advisors and whatever, but we have two stark examples of women of a similar age, politicians of a similar age, who just happen to be women. It doesn't matter what your sex is, but Karen Bradley and London Breed, and neither of them seem to really understand the history of Northern Ireland.
Well, absolutely. I mean, and it's two gaffes, to be perfectly honest. I mean, you know, what Karen Bradley said in Westminster was absolutely reprehensible, and she clarified, and she has apologised also. And I think victims need to look at that for themselves to see if that's enough. And it's exactly the same female London breed. I would be even as far as saying it. She literally put her signature to something she had no input into. But that's not the point. She is the first citizen of San Francisco. That is her name on the document, and she should know what she is signing. You know, I guess they should all take time to look at this from the viewpoint of the victims and understand what few words and language can do to hurt those victims. To visit Northern Ireland, you know, they would certainly get that real sense of what it's like to have lost a loved one during our vicious troubles from all sides of the community. I think that's a good thing. But not having visited is not an excuse for not knowing what happened here in Northern Ireland.
Irish Republicans in America, and it's a very strong central plank of Irish Republicans in America, and Irish Republicans here obviously don't have any problem whatsoever with this. They may feel for the victims of IRA violence, but they don't have any problem whatsoever with a citation that totally recognises Martin McGuinness for the entire journey he was on. Oglan Aherin's on his headstone. He is seen as an Irish soldier.
Well, listen, Frank, we have alternative narratives here in Northern Ireland. I recognise that. Everybody should absolutely recognise that. And where I take one stance, many other people take a different stance. But the reality is we have to really think about the victims here. Now, Martin McGuinness was my physical enemy at one stage. He became my political opponent. But as he drew to the end of his life, he was a frail old man. And when he passed away, he was neither of the above. He was nothing but a human being who died. I think you can look at Martin McGuinness, and you can look at Martin McGuinness in different stages of his life, and you can take a viewpoint from those different stages of his life. But you must be careful to word what you talk about this man and understand the full part of his life. Even in death, even though he had information which could help victims, he remained silent. A lot of people will never forgive him for that. Other people will think that's very applaudable. I think those alternative narratives are something we have to deal with here in Northern Ireland. But saying courageous military service is truly shocking. I have to say it is extremely bad. It's extremely hurtful. She's right to apologise. But please, she needs to now take action to rectify that mistake. It's easily done. And I think she should do it.
Okay, Doug Beattie of the Ulster Unionist Party, thank you very much indeed. Doug Beattie, of course, military background himself in the British Army. I want to speak to Malachy O'Doherty, who has been commenting on this from the moment the citation was signed. I was following Malachy on Twitter on this one. Malachy, the apology...
Good morning, Frank.
Good morning to you. Expect it. Do you think it'll be accepted?
Well, I'm surprised by the apology. It came very, very quickly. I kind of intuited that there's decency about this person and that she hadn't meant any harm. And so the apology coming as quick as that surprised me, but I think it was a good apology. I think the problem here is she's very frank that she took her guidance on how to word this from the United Irish Societies of San Francisco. They have embarrassed her. They have put her in a difficult position by getting her to sign this. And her relationship with them is maintained because she is going to be the Grand Marshal at their St. Patrick's Day parade on the 16th of March. But that's how they do St. Patrick's Day some days, some years. So she's, you know, she must be feeling in some way that she's been let down by them or that she's been put in a difficult position because she now has her signature on a document which honours Martin McGuinness as for military service. She has also, in her role, in her past roles in San Francisco, had responsibility for policing reform. Now, Martin McGuinness was one who, if he did not actually pull the trigger and kill police officers himself, which he may well have done, we don't know that he didn't, he certainly was in a position where he was directing others to kill police officers, and not just police officers, but civilians and soldiers in destroying public property, in destroying the Guildhall in Derry, bombing the Guildhall in Derry. So So Myla McGuinness, in this, what she calls his military service, you know, was, you know, opposed to everything that is, has some kind of reverential value in her political career. He was a killer of police officers. He was a destroyer of the civic space. He was an opponent of the state, and he was an opponent of democracy in Ireland, because the Sinn Féin and the IRA had no mandate from the people to conduct the campaign of vandalism and slaughter that they conducted. So you know, if she reflects on that for a moment, she's bound to think, you know, did these people really expect me to sign this, knowing this about them? Am I in some difficulty with them now? Am I really in a position where I can stand in front of their parade next week, honouring this man? Now that I know a little bit more about him, I think if you're a mayor and you're working for organisations like the United Irishmen Societies, you kind of trust them not to hang you out to dry. You kind of trust them not to to put you in these difficult positions. To understand that you have a diplomatic responsibility, that you have relationships with other bodies and with other countries, and so on, and to take some kind of care of your reputation. And if you can trust them to do that, then things can work well. I think her experience this week is going to be that you can't trust them.
But
that they have put her in difficulty.
Yes, but they will believe in their heads, those people who are in America, who are hoping for a united Ireland, and who see the sod as being Irish, and it shouldn't be, there shouldn't be a blade of grass British. Looking from a distance, they will see Martin McGuinness as someone who stood up to, for example, the parachute regiment when they killed the people on Bloody Sunday. They'll see him as someone who recruited people into the IRA who fought back. They will see the likes of Claudie as collateral damage. They'll ignore that. They'll see the innocent victims as that happens in war, but Martin McGuinness fought the good fight like a soldier when he was faced by the British enemy. That's how they see it.
Well, they may see it that way, or some of them may see it that way, or some of them may think, well, hang on, should we be looking at this again? You know, some of them, it may come to them as a surprise that other people, including people who would describe themselves as Irish Republicans, regard Martin McGuinness as having been, in his early career, a blight on this country. You know, I mean, there are certainly many, many people in Ireland. Remember that the majority of people who are nationalists in Northern Ireland supported the SDLP through the entire IRA campaign. There was only a minority voted for Sinn Féin. And many of those people who voted for the SDLP are Irish Republicans. They aspire to a united Ireland, which will be an independent republic in good relations with its neighbours and whatever. So they are Irish Republicans too. They celebrate St. Patrick's Day. They wear the green, you know, and many people of like mind to them, including family relations, will be marching behind the parade and the Grand Marshal in San Francisco next Saturday, you know. And there, you know, maybe they will, you know, when seeing this debate opening up, you know, will think, are we saying, did they really shoot a woman with census forms? Did Martin McGuinness really send somebody with a gun to go up behind a woman distributing census forms to shoot her in the back of the head? Did he really do that? Did he really order a sniper to shoot a policewoman at the courthouse in Derry? You know, did he do that? How many police people were killed in Derry in the weeks before Bloody Sunday? Was Martin McGuinness who was a commander in the IRA then? You know, did he order that? I mean, a lot of them are going to be saying, you know, we view this in broad stroke terms, and we listen to the rebel songs and St. Patrick's Day, and we drink our green beer, and we think it's all fine and mighty. But, you know, when you present them with the detail and challenge them to consider that detail, then they might see it very differently. And I think a gaffe, and a disgusting, a revolting gaffe like this brings out the opportunity for them to be presented with those contradictions in their own thinking. And I think some of them will be, oh, it was all for the oil country, you know, and kill them all, let God sort them out, that kind of language. Others will say, well, you know, I've a have a brother or a son in the police force, you know. He puts himself in danger to maintain order and to prevent crime and to catch criminals and all the rest of it. And, you know, I don't actually think, you know, it's a very good idea to shoot the police. I don't think it's a very good idea to shoot census collectors. I don't think it's a very good idea to bomb people in buses when they're on the way to work. You know, I do think that, you know, the structure of the state should be, you know, preserved intact, and that you should advance your politics by just blowing up the town hall, you know. I think a lot of reasonable people think that way, Frank.
And finally, Malachy, because people are suffering, the victims of the IRA are suffering as a result of what she said in the citation, do you think that those people today will feel a little less hurt than they were yesterday?
I think, like Doug, I wouldn't speak for them, but I think it's quite possible that a lot of them will think, well, you know, this is an apology. We do understand how the world works, and she did put her faith in these people, letting her recommend Martin McGuinness, probably somebody that she knows very little about, and that she's now in a difficult position. Some of them may think that way. Others will say, well, look, she was the mayor. She signed the bloody document, you know. She should have checked. All she had to do was Google Martin McGuinness and, you know, and find out that that he was, in their terms, a terrorist and a cop killer. And, you know, that wouldn't have been too difficult to find out. So she has been careless. She has slipped up. Some will offer some kind of consideration for that, knowing how the world works, and be grateful for the apology. But next Saturday, she is going to march in front of the, as a Grand Marshal, she's going to march in front of the United Irish Societies of San Francisco, who gave her the wording, who assured her that Martin McGuinness, she probably thought that Martin McGuinness, Irish Republican Army, was a member of the Army of the Irish Republic, you know, not realizing, you know, that that he was a leader of an illegal band of bombers and killers, saboteurs and assassins.
Okay, Malachy, thank you very much indeed. It's coming up on 9:45.